From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. And we start today's program with Pete Buttigieg, the Secretary of the U.S. Department of Transportation. He's served in that role since February of 2021. On Monday, he visited central and southern Illinois to highlight some investments in transportation in the region and talk with students at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign about the future of transportation infrastructure. I had the chance to speak with Secretary Buttigieg on Monday afternoon about all of that, as well as some of the other challenges facing American transportation. This conversation is on tape. Actually, our entire show today is on tape, so we won't be able to take your calls live, but we do welcome your thoughts anytime, so please email talk@21stshow.org. That's talk@21stshow.org. Finally, I should note that the secretary called in from a car while traveling through central Illinois, so there were a handful of short digital hiccups in the connection, but nothing that makes it unlistenable. Okay, with that said, here now is my conversation with Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. Secretary Buttigieg, welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for making the time to speak with us.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
So as we're talking Monday afternoon, you're on the way to East St. Louis to announce funding for the Metrolink public transit system. In the morning, you were in Champaign County to talk about money for separating a grade train crossing. These projects have rail in common. Can you talk briefly about the importance of rail to the future of American transportation?
You know, rail has been an important part of American transportation for almost 200 years, helping to make this country one country as the Transcontinental Railroad was completed, and of course helping to move goods to every part of the U.S. The importance of rail has not changed. What has changed is the level of pressure on the system that makes it even more important than before. We see that on the supply chain side when it comes to the needs for goods to move efficiently around the country. And we see it both on the passenger and the freight side when it comes to the need to find a lower pollution, lower carbon ways to get people and goods where they need to be. We're also at a moment of newfound attention to the importance of railroad safety, especially in the wake of the Norfolk Southern derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, 6 months ago this week. And that means this is an especially important time to be putting our money where our mouth is with infrastructure investments that make rail transportation safer, more convenient, and easier for Americans.
Well, you've hit on a couple of things I wanted to ask you about. One is passenger rail. Illinois has spent some $1.7 billion in federal money to improve the passenger rail service, specifically between Chicago and St. Louis. After more than a decade of work, travel times are now expected to decrease by 30 minutes out of a five-hour trip. And that doesn't include unplanned delays for freight interference and the like. Meanwhile, projects in California and New York have ballooned in price. Given these enormous price tags for what are incremental benefits, how confident should we be that the infrastructure law money will create a functional expansion of passenger rail throughout the country?
Well, part of what we need to do with the infrastructure funding is just take care of what we have. We have allowed the state of repair of our transportation infrastructure, including our railroads in many cases, to slip behind what it really needs to be for us to lead the world with our economy in the 21st century. We also recognize that these improvements won't happen overnight, but we're doing more than ever before. In fact, we're doing more investments in passenger rail since the inception of Amtrak 50 years ago. The other thing that I think is important to remember is even a benefit of a few minutes, when you multiply that by millions of passengers across ride after ride over the years, adds up to a major economic impact. And that's one of the reasons why we think every minute matters on these commutes.
I wonder, as you're sitting on the siding, I don't know if anyone might be listening to us right now, sitting on a siding waiting for a freight train to pass. Will that balancing ever come back where passenger rail truly does get actual priority over freight? I mean, despite what it's supposed to be?
The freight railroads are required by law to give priority to passengers, but in practice, that has not always been happening. As a matter of fact, that is the main cause for passenger delays on larger intercity Amtrak routes, and that does need to change. We welcome the fact that the Surface Transportation Board, which is independent, but that we work with often, is stepping up its enforcement of these rules, and would also add that through the infrastructure law and other legislation, We have new powers and abilities to create transparency, publish data, and hold railroads more accountable. We are using that to try to make sure that these freight railroads live up to their obligation. There's a good chance if you're delayed on Amtrak, it's not because of Amtrak. It's because of a freight train that did not make way. That is not consistent with the law. It's not acceptable, and it needs to change.
You also mentioned the disaster in East Palestine, Ohio, where 150 cars derailed. You know Illinois is the crossroads of rail traffic in America. What steps have been taken to make sure that Illinoisans are safe from the incredible amount of rail cargo that passes through our backyards every day?
Well, part of what we marked today in Savoy, Illinois, was the elimination of a railroad crossing with $20 million of federal funds that are going to help change what is today a risky crossing into an overpass situation where the railroad doesn't cross the roadway at all. That's just one example of the physical infrastructure improvements we're making around the country that will make railroading safer. We're also pushing for regulatory improvements. We're implementing new authorities or new rulemakings under our authority at the Department of Transportation today. And I would add that Congress right now is actively considering a Railway Safety Act that would allow us to do even more. And we hope that members will work across the aisle in both houses to get that done. Get it to the president's desk so we can take more steps that are available to us right now.
I want to turn now to infrastructure and climate change beyond what we've already been talking about. But the infrastructure law had lots of money to address climate change. The Washington Post recently reported, though, that 38 states had shifted about $755 million in infrastructure money away from highway climate change resilience and into just general purpose highway construction accounts. What do you make of this diversion?
Well, sustainability will continue to be an important criterion when we are selecting the projects that are going to get competitive funding when they apply to us at the DOT. But many of the dollars that are going out go through the states, and they have a lot of flexibility in how to use those funds, even when they come in a specific program with a purpose like carbon reduction. We are looking to the states to make decisions that are consistent with the purpose of these programs, but we also have a lot of autonomy in how to do this. Now, some states may move money around from one year to another without it really affecting the overall balance over time. Others, I would be concerned to see them take steps that that really veer away from the purpose of these funds. Again, we respect their legal right to have a great deal of autonomy and independence, but we're going to continue to urge with all of the opportunities we have to ask the states to pay attention to these things, that all infrastructure decisions going into the future be made with sustainability in mind.
Do you have the sense that enough states, or how do you think about that in terms of how state DOTs are approaching the climate threat? How do you get the recalcitrant ones on board?
Well, one of the things we noticed is that even states that are not known for being very forward-leaning on climate are happy to put to work some of the dollars that we've lined up for whether it's electric vehicle infrastructure or improvements in transit or rail, things that we know are going to have a positive and beneficial climate impact. But states are also responsive to their own residents and constituencies, and I think it's important for the public to make their voices heard about their expectations that tomorrow's transportation systems be cleaner than yesterday's.
You know, you mentioned states that aren't necessarily, and I think it was the phrase, leaning forward on climate investments. But I worry about a state like Illinois. Just west of Champaign, there's a major rebuild of the interchange between Interstates 57 and 74. And I'm sure highway planners have lots of good reasons for doing that. But big picture, that's $217 million. Might that not have been better spent on public transportation, or really anything that mitigates global warming rather than enabling more tailpipe emissions?
Well, I think we need to do all of the above. Look, we have to have a functioning, healthy highway network, even as we work to electrify and decarbonize surface transportation. It does nobody good to have deteriorating bridges, roads collapsing, or inadequate transportation infrastructure leading to backups. We also can't treat highways like they're the only form of transportation or expansion like it's the only answer for highways. That's why we have the highest level of dollars going into public transit in American history, the highest level of dollars going into passenger rail since the inception of Amtrak, and whole new programs that did not exist before to improve the resilience and sustainability of our infrastructure. We're going to have to make sure that we work across every form of transportation with our infrastructure investments and with other tools like the so-called CAFE standards, the corporate average fuel efficiency standards that we just released the newest version of, that require every generation of vehicles to be cleaner than the last.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that, because do they give the proper incentives for automakers to make smaller vehicles, right? As we're looking at the future of vehicles and the emphasis on EVs, we're seeing automakers rolling out these F-150s and Hummers and Mustangs. These are like fast behemoths. I worry the roads could become a little more dangerous. Are automakers being properly incentivized to also make smaller vehicles that are safer for everyone who uses roadways, not just vehicles?
Well, we don't regulate or dictate the size of a vehicle, but we are making sure with these CAFE standards that vehicles of different sizes are all required to get cleaner and lower emissions. And the latest standards are especially rigorous for larger categories of vehicles. Another thing that's important on the safety side is that for the first time, our process for safety vehicles, the five-star ratings that consumers know well, are going to begin contemplating not just the safety of those inside the vehicle, but also those outside the vehicle, because we know that the design of a vehicle can affect the likelihood of fatalities for bicyclists or pedestrians in a community where that vehicle is operating. And it's time for automakers to take that into account as well.
I also want to ask you about urban development. This is an area of interest of mine. And as mayor of South Bend, you advocated for the revitalization of the downtown there with complete streets strategies that made the city more walkable. How can you encourage other smaller cities like Springfield and Peoria and Rockford to get started on that kind of transformation?
You know, we've seen a lot of interest in communities of all sizes, not just urban or progressive communities, but really in every part of the country in adopting more of a complete streets approach. The idea that roads, especially as they go through the heart of a community, need to safely accommodate pedestrians on sidewalks, bicyclists, as well as vehicles. And that is another feature of the project we announced today in Savoy, just to take one example, where we see the demand coming in from the communities. Often one of the biggest things holding them back from doing this is funding, and that's part of what we've been able to speak to with the use of our discretionary grant programs. Now, I've really been encouraged and struck by how much demand there has been for this and how many of them we've been able to fund, and I expect that'll continue. We're also funding hundreds of communities to develop safe streets for all plans with planning dollars out of our safety program. And I would be surprised if that did not lead to many, many more visions and designs from communities and from the ground level up to adopt more of a complete street strategy in many, many cases.
I know your time is short. I think this is probably the last question we'll have time for. I do want to return to climate for that. As we speak, I believe you're riding through central Illinois on your way to East St. Louis. This is a region of the country where many people do not think global warming is a major, possibly existential threat, requiring the full effort of our government and society. You are famous among Democrats for engaging with people who don't share your priors, going on Fox News and the like. How do you convince our fellow Americans that we can either fix this together or burn together?
Well, the reality is this is a problem whether you acknowledge it or not. We see it all around us. I observed it firsthand as mayor, where I saw two, and we had to deal with two storms that were considered something that would happen every few hundred years, and they happened 2 years apart. But there's going to be more where this came from, and frankly, there's no more time to debate whether reality is real or whether science is real. We got to act. The good news is, as we take these actions, we're also creating economic opportunity. I think some of the resistance to climate action came from the old false framework of climate versus jobs. But as many, many workers, including in central Illinois, can attest, there are a lot of new jobs being created through things like making sure America rather than China leads the way in the electric vehicle revolution, making sure that we develop clean energy here in the United States and build energy independence from that, and take other steps that are going to make sure that we are not trying to extend the old way of doing things for as long as we can get away with it, but leading the new way of doing things before somebody else does.
Pete Buttigieg is Secretary of the United States Department of Transportation. Secretary Buttigieg, thank you for making the time to be with us on the 21st Show.
Thank you. Good speaking with you.
As I mentioned earlier, we had to tape this conversation Monday afternoon in order to accommodate Secretary Buttigieg's schedule. And because of that, we're not taking calls live, but we do appreciate hearing what you thought about our program. And you can leave a voicemail anytime at 217-300-2121. And here's an example of some of the things you've been saying. This is from shortly after we broadcast a segment last month about a volcano in southern Illinois.
Hi, this is Gil calling from Spring Bay. I really enjoyed the show on the volcanic dome in southern Illinois. I'd like to see, or I should say hear, more stories about scientific literature on the program. It was done very well and most professional. Thanks so much again.
Gil, thanks so much for your message. If you have feedback for the show, good or bad, we want to hear it. 217-300-2121 is our voicemail line. 217-300-2121. Or go to our website. You can find our email address and every other way to contact us. That is 21stshow.org. More to come after a short break. You're listening to The 21st Show. Stay with us.